bitterness. I was usually better than this, usually more on top of things. I had learned a long time ago that giving in to your base instincts was the opposite of helpful in the field. I might have been fuming with anger. I might have thought the Alliance was two brain cells shy of a working cranium for sending us into what was obviously a trap set by the bugs. I might have even thought they were selfish bastards for monetizing human suffering and death. But allowing any of that to sway me even in the slightest would be akin to signing my own death certificate. I knew it, but I couldn't help myself. Something about having Bill Langham's kid with me. About seeing him lying there about to have the same death as his father was enough to get me to chuck the better part of my common sense out the window. I wanted to give in to the anger. Consequences be damned. If it clouded my mind or shook my hand, well, at least I was gonna make this count. I was gonna let loose, to let these aliens know just who they were messing with and why it was such a bad idea. Retract photon cannon. I snarled. Get me my damn Warhammer.
Lieutenant Ryder, Annabelle said. I must remind you that in situations such as this, the Alliance suggests the use of long-range weapons.
Get me the damn Warhammer, I shouted, my eyes narrowing as I neared the group.
Affirmative.
Your selection will be recorded and is subject to review by the Alliance. I don't give a damn about the Alliance, I said honestly. If the Alliance wanted to punish me, they'd have to get creative about it. I mean, I was already a legendary Marine cleaning up piss to make ends meet, for Christ's sake. What were they gonna do, take away my mop? I neared the group quickly, not breaking stride as the Warhammer appeared in my left hand. I felt its familiar weight, like a friend whose handshake felt just right. I wanted to go right for Billy, to help him out in whatever way I could, but I knew better than that. I might not have cared what the damned Alliance had to say about protocol, but I had my honor. I was too much of a soldier to leave the fighting to a pair of women, even women who were as capable and fierce as these two seemed to be. I veered to the left, away from the woman with the pulse laser and the crazed look in her eyes. I had a very destructive weapon in my hands, so I wasn't one to judge. In fact, given the way I felt right now, I'd have said she was a woman after my own heart. That said, I didn't want to get on the wrong side of her firing arc. The pulse laser might have been meant for the bugs, but it would kill me just as quickly if I flew into the spray. I landed beside the lady with the spear, helping her out by slamming the head of my Warhammer into the face of a walkie. Its long head crunched, and its disjointed body crumpled. It cracked under my force, and I felt the sweet give of its exoskeleton as the bug crumpled to the ground.
Congratulations, Annabelle praised. Your kill has been noted, and you have earned 1,000 coins plus a 1,000 coin Marine Salvation bonus.
That was my kill, the spear wielder screamed, echoing a sentiment I'd given to Mina John just seconds before. Tell it to your boss, I said, spinning around in the air and throwing myself toward the crew again. Apparently, everything is up for grabs. The woman, sneering at me just like she did in the ditch, tossed the rocket spear at a bug I was heading toward. Warhammer at the ready. It skewered the bug, ripping a hole straight through its torso that pinned it to the dirt like a giant moth. The creature writhed, graspers reaching up toward the spear, when the back of the weapon exploded with light as the built-in thrusters ignited. The spear tore violently out of the creature, stringing its guts out along the moon's surface as it arced back through the air and came back to her.
That's how we do it in Artemis, she said to me.
Her face scrunched into something like a scowl. I didn't give a damn how they did anything in Artemis or anywhere else. All I cared about was saving my partner and doing right by a man who died beside me well over a decade ago. Lower thrusters, get me on the ground, I muttered to Annabelle. She did as I requested, and I pushed Ms. Spear out of the way, making my way to Billy.
Don't listen to Claire,
the woman with the pulse laser. Jill said. Sparing her the briefest of glances, I noticed that Jill was a shapely thing, with dyed purple hair and eyes that had obviously been genetically modified to match.
She looked at me with less disdain than I'd gotten from either Mina or the other woman.
She's mad you took her kill, she shrugged. I think it was kind of impressive, though.
Thanks. I grunted at her before kneeling over Billy. His face was pale, and his body was still. Stay with me. I looked down at the boy, but I could only see his father. Don't do this to me again. I swallowed hard, feeling lost and helpless, like a damn grass-fed myself. Diagnostics, Annabelle.
I'm afraid he's going into cardiac arrest, Lieutenant Ryder, she said. Nothing short of immediate surgical intervention would save him now.
No, I answered quickly, shaking my head. That's not right. A biopatch might do it. Give him one of my biopatches. Put it on his heart and keep the damn thing stable until we can get him off-world.
Biopatches were bleeding-edge nanotech. Slab patches that were laden with microscopic doctor bots. They go to work at the molecular level, doing everything in their power to repair critical tissue damage and keep a patient stable. A biopatch could work a medical miracle, assuming they could get to the skin and were fed enough energy.
We'd have to lug him around, Claire said from over me.
I didn't ask you, I barked back over my shoulder. Annabelle, you do as I say.
PFC Langham doesn't have the receptors necessary to receive a biopatch from you, Lieutenant Ryder. Furthermore, if he did, it would only serve to...
Give him my damn receptors then, I screamed, choking on my words. I knew it wasn't standard. I knew receptors weren't transferable, but I had given my life to this cause, damn it. I deserved a favor, and I was calling it in.
Lieutenant Ryder,
get me Della, I screamed. Get me Della right this fucking minute. I shook my head. I have given too much to see this happen on my watch.
He's dead, Mark.
A voice came from over me. It was calm, cool, and so seasoned it could only be one person. Mina John stood over me, a somber look on her face.
He's not dead, I replied, staring up at her.
Let's not pretend we haven't done this before,
she replied, soft but stern.
He's gone no matter what we do. Let him go with dignity.
I looked back down at the boy, seeing his father, seeing myself a little. It took all I could do not to cry.
15. You're not serious, Mina said, looking at me with narrowed eyes and a bemused look on her face. I could tell that even though we'd been face to face for less than half an hour, she was already tired of me. Perhaps she was looking for the Mark Ryder of lore, the hero who always knew what to say when faced with a difficult situation and knew what to do with a problem that couldn't be fixed. She should have known by now that, if that man ever existed, he wasn't here anymore. All the proof she needed was the body of a dead kid in front of her.
Do I look like I'm not serious? I snapped.
You look like an old buffoon, Claire said,
staring at me and matching her leader's look of distaste.
That's enough,
Mina replied, turning to Claire and nodding at her.
That's all it took for the younger woman to stand down and shut up. If reputation alone was enough to let me know who was in charge here, that one interaction would have been.
Mark,
Mina said, turning her attention back to me.
This is insane. We have orders.
She showed me her band. Not that I needed to see it. Mine updated right after Billy stopped breathing, too. I'd read what it said, and right now I didn't give a rat's ass.
We have to get to the top of that hill as quickly as possible.
She pointed off into the distance, where the flat, barren land crested up to a rounded point. It was as far as the eye could see, and from the looks of it, was about an hour walk. I had my thrusters intact, so walking would have been necessary for me, but I couldn't carry even a single suited-up woman with me as I flew. The suit just wouldn't handle the extra weight, and having them dressed down while still in enemy territory would have been suicide. No, they'd have to walk, and that meant I'd have to do it with them. I know what it says, and if you want to go on without me, be my guest, I scoffed in her general direction. She scoffed right back at me, walking around until she'd settled into my line of sight. Cocking a leg out, she looked me up and down.
I could see that behind her eyes. She was weighing me. Probably comparing me to the idol she'd undoubtedly heard about for years now. Though the Alliance was the single biggest entity in the history of Earth, it was still a small place when you got down to it. The lifers, or survivors, as they were, all seemed to know each other. Infantry was even worse. We may have seen faces come and go, advance, buy out their contracts, or end up like poor Billy here. But for the most part, we were at least familiar with each other. I'd heard about Mina for years now. The yin to my yang. The woman who could unquestionably give me a run for what little money I had. She had certainly heard about me too. And I couldn't tell from the look that graced her dark eyes whether or not I was living up to any of it right now. "You know I can't do that," she huffed. "As much as it irritates me to say, the minute your band updated with the same intel as ours, it made you part of our mission. I wouldn't leave one of my girls behind, and that means I can't leave you behind either." I looked up at her for a second, blinking and trying to decide whether or not to thank her for that. I didn't. Instead, I went back to digging in the dirt of this alien rock with my shovel. It was a holdover from a long-ago mission, and I'd not used it in at least a decade. But that didn't mean I hadn't had access to it anymore. "I don't know if you've noticed," I said, meeting her eyes, "but I'm not one of your girls." She looked me up and down again, her eyes scraping across my body before settling back on my face. "Oh, I know that, Lieutenant Ryder. One of my girls would never disobey me the way you have." I drove the shovel into the dirt so it stuck up right next to where Billy's body still lay. I sighed hard, shaking my head. "Oh, I'm back to Lieutenant Ryder now." I huffed as lightly as I could in hopes that Mina wouldn't see how winded I was. "A few minutes ago, you called me Mark."
"A few minutes ago? You looked like you were spinning out," she explained, crossing her arms over her ample chest. "I needed to get through to you, and in my experience, I found that using someone's Christian name does the trick."
I flinched at the use of that phrase. That's what my mother used to call it, my Christian name.
"I'd have done the same thing with any of my girls," she continued. "Not that I'd have to. They know better than to lose their shit like this."
I leaned my weight onto the shovel, torn somewhere between pissed off and impressed. I couldn't remember the last time a Marine had spoken to me like this, like I had to prove myself. Even Della and those who had moved on to more senior positions knew what I was capable of and treated me as such. But this woman, she was something different. "You seem pretty hell-bent on comparing me to your girls," I said, pursing my lips at her.
"Just want to make sure you know where your place is," she answered. "You are part of my mission now, like I said, but it is my mission, Lieutenant Ryder. Yours ended when you got your people killed."
I blinked at her, a shot of anger running up my leg and lighting fire to my gut. "I'd say the bugs did that," I answered through gritted teeth.
"The bugs always do it," she sighed.
"That's like blaming the rain for flooding the streets and trapping you in your house, all the while knowing that the weatherman warned you." She walked closer to me. "I'm the fool that ignored the weatherman." She settled right in front of me, so close that I could have smelled the scent of her if I wasn't wearing my suit.
"You're the only man I see?"
A tingle ran through me. I was still more than a little pissed off, but there was something about hearing her refer to me as a man that was at least a marginal step up from where we had been. Turning, Mina barked at her squad mates.
"Jill, Claire, take point and watch our asses."
She looked down at the shovel in the hole I had started to create. A shovel appeared in her hand, glowing red before it solidified in her hands.
"We're going to be here for a while."
"You can't be serious,"
Claire shouted, shaking her head.
"You're going to let this knuckle-dragger tell us what to do?"
"I'm not letting anyone tell me what to do," Mina answered.
Her tone firm, but not nearly as animated as Claire's.
"Including you. Now, unless I'm mistaken, there were no question marks at the end of my sentences. Get your asses where I ordered them this minute." Claire looked from Mina to me and back again. Her gaze as withering as any cannon blast. I didn't care. Honestly, I didn't have the time or inclination for either adoration or disdain today. Wordlessly, Claire turned around and headed out to cover our backs. Mina's eyes slid over to Jill, but if she was looking for a fight there, she'd come up empty. The purple-haired woman had a sly smile on her face, and she was already walking to the opposite side. "You're going to help me?" I looked to Mina with curious amusement. "Of course I'm going to help you." She thrust her shovel into the ground and got to work. "Don't think it means something that it doesn't. I still think burying this boy is a colossal waste of time, and it goes against at least 3 Alliance regulations. But I've been around enough Marines to be able to read them." She glared at me for a second again before moving her attention back to the ground. "You've got a head as hard as the hill we're being directed to. I wouldn't be able to talk you out of this if I tried for a year solid. That being said, 2 can shovel twice as quickly as 1. She looked at my shovel still stuck in the ground. "Providing you don't refuse my help." I pulled the shovel out and helped, careful not to look at Billy. His face was too much for me to handle right now. I needed him in the ground before I could move on. If Mina couldn't understand that, at least she would help. That was something. "You've got a handle on your girls," I said without looking up at her. "That's impressive. It's also a little insulting." "Insulting?" she asked, thinking every bit as quickly as I was. "How do you figure that?" "You know the regulations every bit as well as I do. No Marine is allowed to choose their own squad, not even me. But you do, don't you?" I shook my head. "I thought it was just a gender thing. I thought you couldn't handle working with men." "You'd be surprised what I can handle, Lieutenant Ryder." "I'm sure, but that's beside the point. These aren't just any women. You handpicked them, and you've worked with them more than once." She looked up at me, a sly smile spread across her face. "Is it that obvious?" "It's a compliment, actually. You're a machine, well-oiled and all that."
"Well-oiled, but not perfect," she explained.
She tossed her shovel to the side and looked up at me.
"That should be deep enough to ensure the bugs don't get to him, assuming you strip him of his suit."
"I'll take care of it," I said, nodding firmly.
"Good, be quick about it," she said, turning away. "And Lieutenant Ryder," she added, turning back to me for just a second, "I'm sorry for your loss."
16. Billy took it hard when there was no one to pray over Conroy's body when he died. To that end, it seemed fitting and kind that I would do him that service now that he had followed his fellow junior officer into death. Fitting as it might have been, I wasn't the type of person who could fulfill it. I hadn't been a godly man for decades now. Though the Alliance Hall had services every Sunday, I never went. While it was true that you could find a chapel, synagogue, church, or whatever else to fit whatever flavor of the Almighty you subscribe to, I usually spent my Sunday mornings nursing a cold beer, or flipping through old westerns that no one but me seemed to read anymore. It wasn't that I wasn't a believer. I had been raised Christian by a mother who sang as loud as her lungs would allow any time a priest led the hymn. It was just that, after everything I had done, I wasn't sure God would even listen to me anymore. We believe the Lord made everything, and bugs are part of everything. If that's the case, then it turns out I've killed a hell of a lot of our Maker's creations, and worse than that, I planned on killing a lot more. Wasn't sure that put me and the man upstairs on speaking terms. So after I'd stripped Billy of his battle suit and compacted it down enough to fit in a compartment of my own suit, I covered the boy over with dirt and stood there for a moment, thinking. I couldn't remember a prayer, not a damned one. So instead, I just looked down at the fresh grave where he lay. "Hey, kid," I said, clearing my throat. "You deserve better than this.
Hell, your old man deserved better than this, too. I just want you to know that I think you did well. I know it wasn't a long tenure for you, and I know it's probably not how you wanted things to end. But you should be proud of yourself. I sure as hell am. My jaw tightened. And hey, I hope that, wherever you are, your old man is with you. He was so damn excited to meet you back in the day. I know it was worth the wait for him. I shrugged. Maybe the two of you can finally play catch now or something. It'd be nice, I don't know. I shook my head, feeling stupid. I'm gonna make it right, kid. I'm gonna make them pay, okay? When I walked back over to Mina and her girls, I was surprised about how patient they had been and were still being. Either the scolding she'd gave them before did a better job than I would have thought, or she'd given them a refresher on who was in charge while I was laying Billy to rest. "Is it done?" Mina asked me, her dark eyebrows jutting upward with the question. "As done as it's gonna get," I admitted. In truth, there was something wrong about leaving the body of a man who was willing to give his life to serve his planet in enemy ground. But Billy knew the risks. He knew what would happen if he died here. I shook my head. At least it was better than the bugs picking him apart in the search for more Olibrium.
"Good. We've lost half an hour, and we need to get moving if we're going to make that time up," she said, staring at me. "First, perhaps the Artemis squad should officially introduce itself."
She smirked at me, a grin that would have pissed me off if it didn't tickle me so much.
"As you know, I'm Mina John. I'm the leader of this group, and as an infantry marine, I have the most recorded kills in the history of the Alliance."
As much as I hated to admit it, she was right. At least at this moment. The stinger and the flyer she must have killed put her over the top on the leaderboards. I had her beat on one thing that, in my eye, was maybe more important. "Most recorded kills, but not the most successfully completed missions," I said, reminding her of just who she was talking to.
"It's still early," she shot back, her smirk as bright as ever. "The woman next to me is PFC Claire Forbes."
She motioned to the redhead who I'd saved from becoming a splat on the ground earlier, the woman who had repaid me with disdain and distrust. As I looked at her now, I saw that none of that had changed. She glared at me like I was a scab on her eyelid, something painful, awkward, and in the worst possible place.
"She's our medic."
"Medic?" I narrowed my eyes at her. "Didn't do much of a job on Billy, did you?"
"That's because I know a lost cause when I see one," she said,
her eyes dragging up and down my body before moving to Mina.
"Unlike some of us."
"Enough," Mina said flatly, barely glancing at the woman.
"This one here," she continued,
motioning to the purple-eyed girl whose pulse laser was still strung across her back,
"is..." "I'm Lance Corporal Jill Rodman,"
the girl finished, extending her hand for me to shake. I had no beef with her. In fact, I had been somewhat in awe of the way she'd handled herself when the chips were down. So I took her hand and shook it firmly.
"It's an honor to meet you, sir," she continued,
giving me a half-smile that showcased the purple of her lips. I stared at her, wondering if the color was because of lipstick or was a genetic modification like her eyes.
"I heard a lot about you growing up."
She looked from me to Mina.
"A lot about both of you. When I first started out in the infantry, I figured the two of you must get together all the time. I thought you guys were probably like best friends or really tight co-workers or something."
She smiled brightly.
"I'm really happy to be part of this with the both of you."
I stared at her for a minute, blinking as I took her in. "She always like this?" I asked, my eyes darting over to Mina.
"Only when she's mooning over someone," Claire scoffed. "Shut up," Jill retorted. "Both of you shut up," Mina said, rolling her eyes. "Now let's get going. This moon is still spinning, and something tells me we don't want to be out here in the dark."
I exhaled sharply. I hadn't even thought about dark yet. This was supposed to be a quick in-and-out type thing. It was supposed to be free of complications.
That was a big part of the reason why I'd kept my mouth shut when it turned out I was going in with two grass feds. What was the worst that could happen? Turns out, I still hadn't gotten to the bottom of that question. I had been on moons before. When they were hot, they were damned hot. When they were cold, though, you couldn't survive it. Hypothermia is a bitch. I'd seen it take out good men and women. I didn't want to be among them. Any idea what the hell is at the top of this hill? I asked Mina as we all started walking along the expanse. We seemed to fall into a natural rhythm, with Claire at one end and Jill at the other. They each had their weapons at the ready, probably for quick action should anything happen. Mina was unarmed, though, having retracted both her weapon and her shovel back into her suit. Maybe she thought her girls would be quick enough to save her, or maybe she was just that good. Me? I wasn't about to walk around all armed up if the woman beside me wasn't going to do it. Still, I made a mental note to walk closer to Jill. Not only did I favor a pulse laser over a rocket spear, but I figured she was more likely to cover me if shit went down.
I don't know any more than you do about it, she looked over at me calmly. We both got the same message.
You sure about that? I retorted wearily. Because from where I'm standing, only one of us has ever gotten special treatment from the Alliance, and it sure as hell isn't me. I'm wondering just how far that treatment goes. That smirk of hers made a reappearance, surprising me. I figured my question would piss her off, but it didn't seem to.
What I've earned is my own business. You have no idea what I've gone through to get it.
There was a question there, begging me to just ask what she had gone through to get special treatment. Now wasn't the time to ask, though. Now was the time to get our asses to safety. That might be true, but I know what I've been through, I said. And I know what I'm willing to go through now.
If you have information, you need to share it with me. Why? Because you're a big, strong man, and you're going to be able to save us when things get rough?
She looked at me like I was a disgusting mess, a blight on the face of this planet. No, I shook my head. Because, like you said, I'm your teammate, at least for now, and you owe me as much. She glared at me. I had her, and she knew it.
I don't know anything for sure, she lamented,
keeping pace with me as we made our way to the hill in the distance.
Best guess? It's a new target they gleaned from more recent information, she shrugged. Or it's an extraction point.
She was lying, at least about the last part of it. Like me, she knew there was no extraction point up there. We had a mission, and the Alliance wasn't going to pull us out before it was finished. She was saying this for her girls, not that I blamed her. Morale was important among the troops. A good leader knew that, and they knew how to keep it up, even if it meant being less than truthful every once in a while. Fair enough, I said. We'll get to that point and go from there. Mina took a deep breath.
I meant what I said about you knowing who's in charge here. She shook her head. It's nothing personal. I do respect what you've accomplished up to a point, but I work a certain way, and I won't put my girls at risk by changing that now.
I looked at her. I could respect that, too, even if the at a certain point caveat struck me as a little odd and completely unnecessary. You don't work with men, I said. Everyone knows that, so you can be forgiven for thinking we're all... How did Claire describe me? Knuckle-dragger?
She shouldn't have said that.
Even if it's true, I laughed. Look, I'm not some fragile, egocentric dildo you have to walk around on eggshells with. You've got your way of doing things. That's fine. I've got mine, too. Say whatever you want about what our bands say and what it means. I'm not part of your squad. I didn't sign up for that. You do what you have to. I won't get in your way. But don't get in my way either. If you can do that, you might just find I come in handy every once in a while. I walked down in front of her. You know, for a knuckle-dragger. 17.
This is it, you know,
Jill, the purple-haired one, said to me as we marched toward the hill. I had drifted away from Mina in the minute since we'd had our conversation. I'd asked her to give me my space. It seemed the least I could do to give her some as well. Finding myself next to the one woman in this group who didn't seem irritated by my sheer presence seemed like the next logical step after that. And if she just so happened to be cute? Well, that wasn't my fault, was it? What? I asked, looking over at her, and noticing the way the strap of her pulse laser ran perfectly between her breasts. I tightened my jaw. She was young. Not a kid like Billy had been. She was a little over 20 or something. Old enough to hold her own, but not yet experienced enough to lose the spring that was all over her step.
I know a lot of people see the infantry as a stepping stone, but not me, she said,
explaining things to me as though the thoughts that were running through her head right now had never been thought by another living person in the history of the whole damn world. That was one thing about youth I didn't miss, thinking you were the most uniquely special person in the entire universe for no reason at all. Is that so? I asked, glancing at her.
I get that most people join up either looking to get into politics or move up to sedentary positions.
She shook her head, scrunching her nose up in distaste.
You know, I've even heard of people actually joining up just to get an early pension.
Imagine that, I muttered sarcastically.
But this is it for me.
She beamed at me with spread purple lips that parted to reveal perfectly straight white teeth. This woman was a goddamned medical marvel. Perfect in a way that couldn't be natural. Still, that made her nice to look at.
I'm not looking to go anywhere else or do anything else.
She shook her head, and that purple hair moved along the ridge of her eyebrows.
I just want to be the best damn Marine I can be. I want to make them proud.
Who? I looked at her like she had just told me she wanted to keep breathing because, you know, it's like the best way to stay alive and stuff. Who the hell in your life has led you to believe that the only way to make them proud is by throwing yourself at some far-flung space rock and playing the odds that you'll actually survive? She blinked at me for a moment, obviously taken aback by both what I had just said and the way that I had said it. She had probably thought I was going to salute her or something. At the very least, she likely imagined that I was the way the Alliance made it look like all good soldiers were. I was unflinchingly supportive of all the stupid shit they did, and this war seemed to be in a constant state of losing. The thing was, she wasn't necessarily wrong. I did believe in the war. I believe that when someone comes and kicks your hornet's nest, you sting the bastard. That's the way it works. But I had seen more than I'd ever wanted to when I joined up. I had been tortured more than once, had my ass kicked, and my faith tested. What was more, I just wasn't in the mood right now.
I did this for myself, she said, her voice cracking at the end. I did this because it was the right thing to do, and because I knew I couldn't stand by while good men and women fought for me.
She shook her head again.
I couldn't do nothing.
I looked at her, looking at the fire in her eyes and feeling instantly guilty about both my tone and word choice. Who the hell was I to crush this woman's spirits? If some old dick had come waltzing up to me in my first spins around the galaxy, I probably would have given him the same song and dance that Jill was giving me right now. I believed everything that she did back then, and maybe that was part of why I had survived so long. Skill is important. Luck is, too. You can't underestimate the power of sheer piss and vinegar, though. A hard head can keep you alive just as long as a strong back can. I didn't need to go putting a dent in hers. Good, I said flatly. I have no doubt you'll be a hell of a Marine. It was a lie. I didn't even know if she'd survive the day. Truth be told, it wasn't looking good for any of us. The moon we were standing on would go dark in just a bit, and if what we knew about the other planetary systems and the Akbarian Empire held true for this place, that would be when the real test started. The bugs would go batshit when the sun went down.
I watched a sense of relief fill Jill's face. She wouldn't have to give up on one of her heroes, at least not today. She could go on pretending I was the man with the plan. Someone with all the answers who could swoop in at just the right moment and save the day. Maybe that was important too. Or maybe it didn't matter at all. What the hell did I know?
Incoming message from Alliance Hall,
Annabelle said in my head. I came to a sudden stop, as did Mina and the others. That led me to believe that this message was for everyone, and they were all hearing it right now, thanks to their own personal comms. Damn, I muttered under my breath. I knew enough about the Alliance and the way they work to know that if they were cutting in right now, it wasn't for our good. We were in the middle of a mission, trying to get to the top of this hill as quickly as possible. They wouldn't interrupt our mission unless what they had to say was extremely important. Of course, in my experience, what was important to them wasn't necessarily to us. I muttered my objection lowly, but that didn't stop Mina from hearing me. Maybe because she was expecting it. Maybe because she was thinking the same thing. In any event, she gave me a small smirk as the horn started playing in my head, alerting me that the message was about to start. I kept eye contact with her until she broke it, looking down at the ground and listening to the words as they flooded our minds.
A message from the Alliance.
It started in a robotic yet human enough voice. It was soft and soothing, but it sure as hell was no Annabelle.
In response to your exemplary work today, the Alliance has an upgrade credit which can be used for any weapon, long or short range. This credit must be used within the next 90 seconds and is restricted to offensive weaponry.
That's so cool, Jill said from beside me, her mouth agape.
It wasn't every day the Alliance offers something for free, and in her short time, I assumed she'd never seen it before.
Wait for it, Mina said sternly.
I recognized the catch in her voice. Like me, she knew the Alliance wasn't one to give gifts, even if they were rewards. This was about something else.
In addition, the Alliance would also like to gift you with atmospheric filtration chip downloads, which will allow you to convert the natural gases of this and nearly any foreign planet to something you can use,
the voice said into our heads.
This technology, along with your upgrade, will be delivered instantly as soon as you mentally sign this notice.
Just like that, a large notice appeared in my line of sight. It's a liability release, I muttered, understanding what the big hurry was. The Alliance had screwed up sending us down here, and as a result, we'd probably die because of it. The thing was, if we died, our relatives could sue their sanctimonious asses and probably wring a settlement out of them. This was the Alliance's way of getting around that. They would dangle flashy, pretty tech at us in a moment where we'd have no time to think it through. The upgrades would help us survive, and the filtration meant we wouldn't have to deal with masks. We'd basically be signing away our souls to protect our bodies, and they knew we had no choice because, in the end, you do anything you can to survive. At least if you're smart, you do. Didn't mean I had to like it, though. They were bartering for things we should have had for free. They were making us pay for the opportunity to get ourselves killed. That was the game, though, and as I mentally signed the release form, I knew I had no choice but to keep playing it. I was in way too deep now. 18. 90 seconds later, and it seemed like all of us had signed our grievances away on the dotted line in exchange for the chance at survival, and of ditching those pesky helmets and masks we had grown so accustomed to. The idea of implanted filtration systems had been around for a while, though they had always been met with varying levels of success. The first people who went off-world without a proper helmet and mask were almost immediately killed, suffocated by gases toxic to humans and left to be picked apart by the bugs. That incident made its way across Earth nearly as quickly as the people involved in it had died, and did much to delay this sort of wireless filtration idea. It was a full 5 years before they tried it again, and even with the current success of it,
it still wasn't a mainstream thing. Still, there hadn't been anything close to an accident in years now, and given what we had been through and what we were likely to go through on this moon, I figured having the chance to go commando wasn't the worst thing in the world. My helmet retreated into my suit, disappearing in the folds of metal around my neck as I took in a deep, greedy gulp of air. I wasn't without oxygen before. No, the suit system made sure of that. It was only that mine was the first suit to react to the upgrade, and if there was going to be a problem with it, I wanted to expose it before the other suits reacted the same way. Better for me to die than all of us. At least if that happened, Billy wouldn't end up alone out here. As it turned out, the wireless filtration worked perfectly. The toxic gases of this place were instantly and silently converted into oxygen. It was a quick and comfortable experience that made me wonder why I hadn't opted for this sooner. Then I remembered just how much this system normally cost, and that explained it immediately. I looked around as the same thing happened to the ladies. Mina was first, her helmet retreating to reveal short, cropped dark hair swooped over to one side. With the whole of her face in view, I couldn't deny that she was a striking woman. The beauty mark in her cheek and full lips that would have been inviting in almost any other circumstance. Still, there was a vulnerability about her. For all her bravado and bullishness, seeing her standing there, exposed as she was without her helmet, I couldn't help but see something almost delicate behind her eyes. Something almost broken. "What?" she asked, obviously noticing the way I was looking at her. "Nothing," I said, shaking my head. "I just wanted to make sure it worked."
"No such luck, Ryder," she scoffed. "Works just fine. You'll have to settle for being second in command a bit longer."
"Didn't realize he was second," Claire said, walking up beside me.
Turning, I saw her hair had spilled out down her back. She settled near me. Her hip jutted out almost defiantly and her mouth twisted into what was, by now, a stalwart scowl.
"I just kind of thought he was a tag-along."
"Tag-along or not, he outranks you, and you'll do well to remember that," Mina said, her tone all business and her eyes looking past Claire to Jill.
"You all right?"
I turned and saw the purple-haired woman standing in an almost hunched-over position, her eyes on the ground. Instinctively, I started over toward her, looking for signs of what could be wrong. Was her filtration system acting up? Was I about to witness a tragedy the likes of which the Alliance hadn't seen in years?
"Stop,"
Mina said, catching up with me and laying a hand on my shoulder.
"She has to do this herself."
"I'm fine,"
Jill said. Her face twisted up almost painfully. She looked up at me, a slightly veiled sense of panic in her eyes.
"I'll be fine."
"Her uncle,"
Claire said from beside me.
"He was one of the people killed when this thing malfunctioned the first time,"
she shrugged.
"The idea of it has always wigged her out."
"What?" I asked, my eyes narrowing. "Well then why in fuck's sake would you ever agree to do it?"
"Because I'm not some little girl,"
Jill screamed, thrusting herself upright and glaring at me with furious purple eyes.
"I told you, this is all I ever wanted to do, and by God, I'm going to do it. I'm on a damned alien planet millions and millions of miles away from anybody I've ever cared about. I got things shooting at me, gunning for me, wanting to rip me apart. I don't need to be frightened of a damn piece of equipment."
She blinked at me, and it looked as though tears might have been forming behind her eyes.
"I'm not going to let myself be that person. I just won't."
I stared at her for a long second. There was a big part of me that wanted to walk over and hug the girl. To wrap her up and tell her all of this would be okay. After all, she was the only one of the three who didn't hate the damn sight of me. I thought better of it. If this was Billy, if he was still alive and freaking out, would I give him a hug and tell him not to worry about things? No, I would tell him he needed to man up. I'd say that if he didn't get his shit together immediately. He was probably going to get himself killed. And I'd be right to do it. Why the hell would I treat Jill any differently? She needed to get tough, too. She was right. She couldn't afford to be the kind of person who let this bother her, and I couldn't afford to indulge it. Fine, I said, trying my best to take any sympathy out of my voice. You say you're good? I believe you're good. You'd better be anyway. I nodded. Let's get going.
I say when we get going, Nina said, pushing me back just a little.
And? I asked, raised eyebrows.
Let's get going, she said, her tongue clicking.
I smiled, shaking my head. We walked for nearly half an hour, and that damned hill didn't look to be any closer. We had lapsed into silence, with more junior officers flanking either side and drifting far enough away that Mina and I could talk privately. Not that we had. At least before the moment I decided to break the silence. So, what'd you use it for? I asked, looking over at Mina.
What?
She asked, looking over at me with a look that said I had pulled her from a deep and important thought. Your upgrade, I explained. What'd you use it for?
Oh.
Her eyes softened just a bit.
I don't see where that's any of your...
Pulse laser, I said, nodding firmly.
What?
She asked again. We're in the wide open. No place to hide, no cover to take, I said. You want to be able to take out as many of these bastards as humanly possible in the smallest amount of time possible, I grinned at her. So you chose a pulse laser. Tell me I'm wrong. She grimaced at me, turning away. I knew I was right.
Well, what about you?
She turned back to me.
What did you choose?
Me? I chuckled. Leaning closer, I answered. A pulse laser, of course.
At least we'll be properly armed for when it happens.
I would ask what the it she was speaking of was, but I already knew. We weren't moving nearly quickly enough, and we'd never make it to the top of this hill before dark. We were gonna have to fight our way through the crazy. Are they good? I asked, looking from Mina to the girls on either side. I saw them fight, but what we went through isn't as bad as it gets.
It's not even as bad as it's going to get, Mina agreed. But yeah, they're good. Jill takes orders better than Claire, but they're both credits. It's why I keep them around.
About that? I asked, swallowing hard.
How is that even possible?
You said that you'd given up a lot to be able to cultivate and keep your own team. What on earth did you... The ground started to shake under us, and we all stopped immediately. My heart sank and my body tensed as I went through the list of possibilities in my head, hoping to God that this wasn't what I knew it was. Claire and Jill tightening up around us as the ground continued to shake, a low rumble echoing from right underfoot.
What is...
It's one of them, Nina said, cutting into Jill's words. She looked directly at me as she said the next words, her eyes telling me she knew just how fucked we actually were.
It's a sandworm.
19. My entire body threatened to shudder as I heard Mina say that word. If there was anything more bone-chillingly terrifying than a damn sandworm, I didn't know what it was. While flyers were the sort of things that the children of Earth fill their nightmares with, it was sandworms that soldiers like us, Marines who had seen it all and done it all, woke up thinking about in the dead of night. They were so terrifying, so damn destructive and dangerous, that most of our planet's civilians didn't even know they existed. A branch of the Akbarian menace that lived underground and fed on the flesh and bone of whatever it could find. Sandworms had the sort of insatiable hunger and sheer mass that could rip the ground right out from under you. Thankfully, their sheer size made getting them to Earth and other Alliance worlds more trouble than it was worth. That, and the mindless way in which they acted, made them a threat to the bugs as well. Even the Akbarians were scared to death of these sons of bitches. And as a rule, when the stuff you're afraid of gets afraid of something, you should probably stay away from it. We could not stay away from it, though. Sandworms sensed vibrations from the surface.
Our fight with the Flyers and company must have been enough to put one of them on our scent, and the fact that we looked to be the only moving things for at least a mile in any direction meant the worm had no other option but to zero in on us. Usually, I'd have been prepared for something like this. They teach you how to deal with the very unlikely event of running into a sandworm while in training. The intel on this moon told us not to worry about that, though. Scientists, the smartest minds on any of Earth's continents, assured us that these things wouldn't be a problem, so I didn't prepare. I didn't look for the worst to happen, and that was my own fault. Normally, I've been strapped down with enough weaponry to kill anything. But even if I was, the worms were not my favorite. "Stay still," I said, swallowing hard and putting a hand on Jill, the woman closest to me, to settle her down. She had freaked out a little about the filtration system and what happened to her uncle aside. That was just a damn mask. Would she be able to keep it together in the face of the most terrifying creature any of us could have imagined? "All of you," I said quietly, "stay as completely still as you can. These fuckers sense vibrations. It's how they see. If we don't move, if we're still enough, we might be able to convince this thing that we're gone."
"And if we can't?" Claire asked from the other side of Mina. "Then we'll fight it," Mina said, though I could tell from the catch in her voice that she wanted that less than I did. Tangling with a sandworm was so dangerous, I couldn't even think of a handful of Marines who had done so and lived to tell about it. The last one, Major Sandra Collingsworth, had a statue up in her hometown in Texas. It didn't showcase the worm, and no one outside of the forces even knew what she'd done. The good people of Texas simply thought she was a good soldier who did good things. They didn't know she did the impossible. That was what it would be to face a worm out here in the open. Impossible. "Explosives?" I asked simply, looking over at Mina and referencing the only thing that had been known to kill a worm. Their hides were so tough that nothing, not gunfire, not photon blasts, not even fire, could penetrate it. The people who'd survived something like this had done so by grabbing explosives and managing to get them inside the beast, where it was vulnerable.
"No," she answered flatly, her voice low.
"Me either," I said, my heart dropping. "Them?" My eyes motioned to the girls.
"Nope," Mina said. "They assured us it wasn't necessary."
That made sense to me. Explosives weren't like other weaponry. They were even more combustible, so dangerous in fact that they couldn't be downloaded to suits wirelessly, or even upgraded. You had to be there to physically take them, and once you had them, you had to be really damn careful. Otherwise, you'd be very likely to blow yourself up before the bugs even had a chance to get to you. "God damn it," I muttered as the ground shook again from beneath us. All I could think about was the worm's gaping mouth, its rows and rows of sharpened incisors. I thought about being swallowed up by that thing, of my bones crunching under it, of my body being broken apart by gastric acids and disappearing forever into the bloodstream of a beast before what was left of me was forcibly voided underground as an indistinguishable pile of excrement. Not exactly the Irish funeral my grandfather received.
"So we stay put,"
Mina said sternly, though I couldn't help but register the hesitation in her voice. I was getting the idea that the dark-haired woman was like me, that she liked to have a plan and then a backup plan. Standing still was a shitty plan to begin with. Getting eaten was an even worse backup plan. As it was, though, it was all we could do. My mind started to spin as I took short, shallow breaths. Breathing deep and heavy would cause me to move more, and moving more would give my position away to this thing. The only reason the sandworm hadn't already swallowed us whole was that it was still looking for our precise position. Sandworms weren't fans of the daylight. It was part of the reason why they lived underground. As such, when it decided to feed during daylight hours, it did so in a grab-and-go sort of way. It would swoop up, snatch what it could with its mouth,
and dip back into the ground with its newly caught snack struggling futilely against its strong teeth. At this moment, it was close to finding us, which meant we had until that happened, or until it got dark out here, freeing up the sandworm to move about freely.
So, how long are we going to wait?
Claire pointed off into the distance.
Because I don't think they're going to sit around and let us stand here.
I followed her finger and nearly cried out in frustration. Charging over the hill in the distance was a group of flyers. It was more than I had ever seen together in one place before. Perhaps more than anyone had ever seen in one place before. Looking at them, I knew two things. They were here to kill us, and they had probably brought the sandworm. The bugs had set a trap for us. We knew that much to be true thanks to the chlorine cloud and nanite interference before. However, this band of flyers, bug brothers in arms, was even more blatant proof of it. Flyers didn't hit the ground unless they wanted to. They could kill us from the air and the sandworm would never detect their presence here. It was the bugs had rattled the sandworm to life, in addition to sending a band of the only bugs who wouldn't also be prey for the sandworm to force our hand. We could stay here, still as statues, and get picked off by the flyers. Or we could fight against the aerial assault, and in doing so, tell the worm exactly where we were. My chest tightened as I went over our options. Death by a thousand blows, or being swallowed whole. Neither sounded like a winner.
Jesus, Mina muttered as she presumably realized what was going on too. We're fucked.
I am, I answered, swallowing hard.
What?
She looked over at me, still not moving her body as the earth shook below and the flyers grew ever closer. Switch on telescopic vision and look at that formation. I barely motioned to a part of the hill tight before it tapered off into the land. I glared at it with suit-induced visual clarity. There's a cave in there, a small opening, and I bet there's hardened ground under it. You'll be safe from the sandworm in there. You can even wait out the night if you need to.
I don't like the use of the word you in this plan of yours, Mina said, setting her jaw in my direction. Putting that aside, you're assuming we'd even make it to the cave. The instant we start moving in tandem, that thing is going to pull the ground out right from under us.
She looked down at her feet. No thrusters, remember? You won't need them, I said, finally chancing a deeper breath. For what I was about to do, I would need it. I'm about to make enough noise to pull anything that cares to listen in the other direction. Annabelle, initiate sonic amplifiers and send them to my boots.
Sonic amplifiers? That'll draw that monster right to you.
Nina's eyes grew wide and she knew.
That's the plan, isn't it?
This is your team, and you have to lead them, I explained. Surprised and a little concerned, I had to explain this part to her. She was supposed to be good, after all. Not everyone gets to survive, you know that.
So I get to be the stupid bitch who got Mark Ryder killed?
She looked at me thoughtfully.
No dice, Mark. If the Alliance looks into this at all, and we both know they're going to be so far up my ass when you die that I'll be able to taste it, they'll fucking execute me.
She swallowed hard, gaze turning to her two girls.
I'll send one of them.
Mina, it's your squad. I shook my head. I won't have you sacrifice them for me.
And neither of them are Mark fucking Ryder.
She was more pissed off than I'd ever seen her. It was understandable because instead of letting me go and do this, she had to choose which of her girls to get killed. She was also right. If she let me go, the Alliance would never let it stand, not for a fucking second. If she ignored the protocol about saving more senior Marines over junior ones, she'd be lucky if all they did was execute her. At least she would be if they found out she made the decision. If I just broke rank and did what I wanted, well, they would just have to blame me instead. And I'd be dead. That's fair. Which of them is it gonna be? I asked. And as her gaze flitted back to Claire and Jill, I looked at the flyers coming toward us. We only had a few seconds to do this.
It'd take longer than that for her to get one of the Marines to go on a suicide mission. And something told me that Jill was going to grab the short straw because Claire would argue. It's Jill, isn't it?
Yes, she frowned. You might be a knuckle-dragger, but the world is better off.